welcome to Radio Free HPC. This is where we talk about supercomputing, high-performance computing, and other technology topics. I'm your Toastmaster, Rich Bruckner from Inside HPC, with my co-hosts, Dan Olds from Gabriel Consulting, and Henry Newman from Instrumental. Now let's get to the show. Well, welcome, guys. You know, we're coming off of SC12, and one of the highlights of the SC conferences is always the student cluster competition. And Dan, I know this is very near and dear to your heart. You've done extensive coverage on this competition, but I was wondering if you, before we dive in, if you could just tell us, how did this one stack up compared to past Battle Royales?
Well, there were a number of interesting things that happened in this version of the competition. I guess the two biggest pieces of news out of this is that we had an American team win for the first time in, over the last three competitions. The Chinese and Taiwanese teams have been very strong, both at ISC last summer and also in the last two SC versions of the competition. We also had our first female team, all-female team, from the University of the Pacific in Stockton, California. They were backed up by Lawrence Livermore. We also had a new division added, which was the Little Fee division, which is where four teams, including a team from a high school, believe it or not, had identically prepared a small cluster in a box, atom-based clusters, these Little Fee systems, and they were doing the traveling salesman problem. And that added something to the competition. It was an interesting wrinkle.
Okay, so before we break that down, so have they changed any other parameters of this? Somebody told me that the winners didn't even use the full 26 amps of power, that they were something like half that. Does that sound right?
That does not sound right at all. The real key to winning this thing, and I can check back with the guys that did the scoring, but in all along, the real key to winning this has been not how much hardware you bring, but how close you can stay to that 26 amp limit on power, riding the line, as they call it. And the closer you can ride that line, the more efficient your system, more efficiently your systems are operating, the more performance you're getting out of them. So but I'd be really surprised if they were significantly under.
When is the student cluster going to go to the real world? I mean, this is kind of the LINPACK of cluster operations. Where's the file system? I mean, if we're going to teach people about, you know, real systems and try to you know, put them in this little box, real systems have I/O, real systems do checkpointing.
Sure.
Real applications do checkpointing.
Sure.
You know, 26 amps, no file system, no luster, no, you know, parallel file system, whatever it is, GPFS or Panassus or anything, what are they going to do about that?
Well, the competition evolves, first of all, and they do a LINPACK, but then they also do four scientific applications, and I think that those are going to evolve over the year to become a bit more lifelike, so it's not just an exercise in how many CPUs cycles you could pull out of these things. One of the problems they have, though, is with the limit on power, how much in the way of drives can you run?
Well, you know, maybe they need to slightly change the limit on power or change the ratio of, you know, but I mean, the real world, if we're trying to teach people about things and we're trying to, you know, to, you know, we've talked in the past about LINPACK not being the best benchmark for HPC in the real world today. What, you know, why don't we start with the people that are up and coming and let them try to figure this out themselves?
Well, this isn't, I mean, and just so you know and so everybody listening knows, LINPACK's only one piece of it. They do that the first day. The rest of the day is, or the rest of the days of the competition are running real-world applications like WRF, LAMPS was this year, CAM, QMCPAC.
What's the input file for WRF? Are they doing any checkpointing of WRF? These are real-world questions.
Yeah, and you're right. They're probably not, and I think that that's a way the competition needs to evolve. I'd also like to see some big data type problems in there too. And Henry, that's would be a place for you to contribute. You're from your vast storehouse of knowledge.
Well, I mean, I would start running applications that are doing MPIIO, something like HICOM, which is an ocean model.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty well known. A lot of people use it in their benchmarks. The MPIIO version is, you know, well known. There's good input files for it. That's
sure.
What I would start looking at something like that.
All right, so that you know, I think Henry's got a point there, and maybe that's a way to engage some storage vendors in this process as well, Dan.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, something else I think would be good is to have some, and they did this at ISC, but to have some non-disclosed applications that they'll be required to do at the show. So in other words, a wild card or two that come up, or even throwing them a power failure. Or something. A lot of things that could be done to test how resilient they are and how resilient their systems are.
Well, that's true. You know, make them stop the job in the middle of a run and restart it, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I would just suggest that we don't throw everything but the kitchen sink at them the first time. And we the industry, need to make sure that the things we're suggesting they do can be done and prototype this outside of the student cluster, in all fairness to them.
Sure.
No, no. Or we could just bring the conference back to Reno where they shut the power off halfway through the show at random.
That, and I, one of the ideas I had was that you put each of the teams, their 10x10 booth, put it on a pallet and raise it up into the rafters when they start, and as they get results, they can gradually lower down.
But how do you get coffee up to the rafters, Dan?
What's that?
I mean, they need coffee.
And pizza.
Well, we can
pizza and Red Bull.
We can raise things up to them. We can give them provisions on the way up, and they can, you know, send buckets down if they needed to. But again, I think that coffee comes out of their power budget.
Well, Dan, we should probably go over the results of this.
Sure.
I think, you know, there were some surprising numbers that came out, and let's start with, okay, who won?
There are two awards that are given. The first one is for the highest LINPAC.
And that was, I believe, was NUDT out of China, was it not?
That was NUDT.
Defense Technology?
Yes, that's the National University of Defense Technology. They're the guys who you may know from the ever-popular Tian-E 1A system.
Okay. So how many teraflops did they get out of that 26 amps?
3.014.
Wow. Okay,
yeah.
So highest number ever, I'm assuming?
That is, yeah, that is significantly a higher number than ever. Following them was USTC, which is the University of Science and Technology out of China, 2.793. University of Texas from Austin, 2.5 teraflops, and on down from there. And
okay,
over the years, it's grown quite a bit. I mean, we only broke the teraflop barrier in 2010.
Yeah. Remarkable. So they got that particular crown. What's the other award?
The other award is the overall award, which takes into account their LINPAC score, and then it takes into account the four scientific applications and the interview with the judges. The judges interview them to find out how well they understand the applications, how to optimize them, and the science behind the applications. And in quite a surprise, a shock, in fact, University of Texas won the overall competition with a very solid performance on the application round.
So the kids from Austin.
The kids from Austin won the overall competition, closely followed by Team Taiwan from National University of Tsinghua, which I've never pronounced correctly. That's why I just call them Team Taiwan, but they were very close behind. That team had won the two previous years, 2010 and 2011, and was hoping to three-peat this year.
What about newcomers? How did they fare?
Newcomers, they did okay, kind of a mixed bag. The less new of the newcomers, and it would be Team Boston, which was an unholy alliance of Boston area elite universities, MIT, Harvard, Northeastern, and Boston University. And they did okay, but the vast majority, well, in fact, all of their team were folks that had come out from Boston University the year before, so they're not really new. The USTC, the University of Science and Tech, China, they were third, and they were a brand new team. They did a pretty good job, but they're not really new to student clustering because they'd competed in that massive inter-China cluster competition, and they were the first alternate on the list to go to ISC 12, meaning that they were third place.
Inter-China cluster competition, they have the same sort of rules, the same sort of same applications, the same, you know,
had them do exactly
criteria?
The same thing. They had them, well, this was before ISC. China had two slots in the ISC competition in June in Hamburg, and they had 300 universities apply to get more information and to start the process. They had 33 universities actually complete applications to represent China, and they brought the best eight to Beijing to have an actual live playoff, and the top two teams got to go. USTC, the one who finished third at SC just now, they were third in that inter-China competition. The other new teams, they did okay. They completed the competition. The one that's an interesting case is Texas Tech, the Team Red Raider. I don't know if you guys got a chance to go over there, but they came up with, and they cobbled together their own immersive liquid cooling. It was using car parts and using, they used a boat bilge pump to drive the fluid around. They welded up their own enclosure. They were using a radiator from a transmission fluid cooler from probably, it looked like a car, maybe a small truck, as a radiator, and a couple of very low power case fans. Extremely low power use on their cooling gear. And the problem is that their servers didn't show up. They ended up somehow in Mexico, and they couldn't get their test system out in time. And it's kind of a good part of the SCC competition. Other teams gave them their spare gear, so they'd have something to run. And then the sponsors, Dell and Mellanox, went out and combed the floor and got up enough hardware so they could run, but it wasn't stuff that they could immerse.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds like they're getting back to the Beowulf roots there, you know, kind of cobbling things together and getting innovative on the cooling side.
Well, it's kind of interesting. Very cool, Dan. It's kind of interesting, though, with Texas Tech. One of the fixes they came up with, one of the big problems they have, is that you want to you got to take all the fans off. First of all, it saves power, but fans will break down if they're trying to move liquids as opposed to air. Problem they have is power supply fans, right? If you disable a power supply fan, that won't let the system boot. System will not boot unless it gets a signal that the fan is on. They couldn't get code for the BIOSes to be able to hack into that.
Change the BIOS.
And they couldn't do that, unfortunately. So what they ended up doing was a great backyard fix. They got in with some tin snips, and they just snipped the blades off the fans. The fans spin, they send the message back to the board that, hey, my fan's operating, power supply fan's operating, and yet it's not moving any liquid, so it's not loaded at all. Uses less power. But
wow.
These guys, according to them, in their lab, under the same conditions as the competition, with their cooling, said that they could have pulled 4 teraflops on Linpack.
Who was the hardware vendor? Well, who was their hardware vendor? What happened?
Dell.
You don't want to single them out, do you?
No, Dell did a good job. It was a problem with the shipping. It happens. But Dell also stepped in and got them the hardware they needed from the floor.
Yeah.
This stuff happens in our business. It didn't help that we had 8.5 inches of snow in Salt Lake either. That was a complication as well. But that was a really interesting part of the competition. The other noteworthy team, Team Venus, is the first all-female team to compete.
And where's Team Venus?
They're out of the University.
Venus University?
They're out of the University of the Pacific in Stockton, California, also known as the MIT of the Northern Imperial Valley. And actually, I'm just making that up. But they're not renowned for having a tech education. In fact, if I remember right, one of the members said to me, their cluster was the first Linux on their campus. Have I shocked you guys?
That's just dead silence there. That was on purpose.
Shocking. But according to them, they believe that their cluster was the first instance of Linux on their campus.
Is this a cosmetology school or what?
No, it's a liberal arts university. It's an elite, expensive liberal arts university.
Okay.
But not real deep in the technical arts.
Well, Dan, thanks for that. You know, your coverage, I think, of this is just unmatched, and your continued interest, it really helps drive this program, and I applaud you for that. But I wanted to get some closing thoughts from Henry. Henry, what do you think?
And Dan, I do appreciate, I watch all your videos that you put on the register and stuff, and I think it's really good for the industry and exposure for the young people that are doing this. We need more of those types of people in our industry. But I do want to point out that, you know, if you have any influence, or Rich, if you have any influence and I'm willing to get involved, that we start looking at making this more realistic.
I think you're absolutely right, and more realistic is more better, as long as we can still preserve the competition elements to make it interesting for the kids.
Absolutely.
And we will get you involved.
Thank you, Dan.
That's it for this edition of Radio Free HPC. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back often for new episodes. Also, check out our website for more content, links, and a place for you to let us know what you think about the show. We're at RadioFreeHPC.com. Thanks again. We'll be back with another exciting episode real soon.